Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, welcoming you to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Thank you for tuning in with us this morning. You can find us here at 8 a.m. every Sunday morning on 96.1 FM WLZA, and we thank that fine station for hosting this broadcast. On behalf of my friend and partner in this ministry, Elder David Wise, who is the faithful pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi, I welcome you. And maybe you're a repeat listener. Maybe this is the first time you've chanced upon our broadcast. And we hope that you'll tarry with us a little while and that you'll study the Word of God with us and that you will apply it to your heart and to your life and that you'll find it beneficial. But most of all, our aim in this broadcast is to honor and glorify the name of the Lord. And if we've done that, we count ourselves as successful. Both of our churches, Sulphur Springs in Caledonia and Macedonia in Ackerman, meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. And you'll find both places very welcoming, and we want you to come. We also have a fellowship meeting every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. At the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, Mississippi. We would welcome you to come. We usually have an abbreviated song service and a short message, and then we break and we all sit together and we have fellowship and food. And we would love to have you come and be with us. We'd love to have your feedback, and it's very easy to contact us and to find out more information about us at www.gospel-of-grace.com. Please go and visit that website. We welcome your feedback, either positive or negative. We just want to know that you're listening, and we would love to reach out to you if you have that desire. This morning, we have a message for you regarding the Word of God as our judge, and we hope that you'll stay tuned, and after this hymn, we'll be right back with this morning's message.
Oh, for a
amen to that sweet hymn. Thank you for staying tuned. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to read Daniel chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 this morning, a passage of scripture that stirred my mind to this subject. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Now, the context, the background is that Daniel, this prophet of the Lord, who prophesied unto the children of Israel that were in Babylonian captivity, well, now the Babylonians have been overthrown, and it's the Medes and the Persians. And we find, as it reads in chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You see, the Jews had had many false prophets coming and telling them that their captivity was almost over. It would be very soon they'd be returning to the land that God had promised them, but yet they had squandered the liberty they could have had in that land through their disobedience and their rebellion against God. And here Daniel is reading the Word of God, and he's made to understand the truth of God's Word, that 70 full years was going to have to be fulfilled in that captivity. Now, there's a lot of preaching in what that 70 years meant, but to stay germane to the topic this morning, we now are going to read verses 11 and 12. And now here Daniel is praying an intercessory prayer unto the Lord on behalf of the Jews. And notice this wording in verses 11 and 12. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. I want you to notice what Daniel was saying there, praying unto the Lord. He said, Lord, Israel has transgressed your law. What's the law? The law was the word of God. He had given it upon Mount Sinai. It had been written down and enjoined unto his nation. He said, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice, therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, said, we've sinned against him. In other words, he's saying, we have sinned against your word, your inspired, written, and preserved word. He went on in verse 12, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us. And notice this, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. You see, there were those judges are referring to the leaders, the both civil and the spiritual leaders of the Jews, and they were considered judges. They were considered authorities. Now, many people in this day and age, they consider themselves religious authorities outside of the Word of God. They'll say, well, you know, my God would do this and my God wouldn't do this. And they'll boldly proclaim such things, even when the Word of God plainly declares what God's nature and essence, His morality, and His justice proclaims in the Word of God. They will completely cast it aside, and they will try to explain it away and try to couch it in terms of political correctness and what is popular in this day and age, those smooth things that people like to hear. But here Daniel made no bones about it. He said, our judges are going to be judged. Why? Because we were not supposed to be listening to the false words of those judges, even though they were in authority, even though they were respected, even though they were intelligent, even though they had gifts. He said, ultimately, we should have believed the word of God. Now, do you know anybody like that today? Do you know someone who's just willing to give you their opinion and try to pass it off as God's word? Brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful about doing that. We need to repent if we're found doing that, because that's a very common thing in this day and age. No one wants to take the word of God for what it means. They want to put their own slant on it. They want to twist it and turn it. They want to try to season it with a little of their own salt and pepper and a little sugar and try to make it a little more palatable, and so they don't hurt someone's feelings or so they don't seem ignorant. And they want to try to pass their own judgment off and try to pass it on as that which they have, maybe they've said, God has showed me, God has shown me this, or I received a dream of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We're going to find in God's word today in this short broadcast that God will not contradict his word, but he has established his word. And my friends, Daniel knew it, and God help us that we might know it. We can go over to Psalms 119, and we're going to ask the question, does the right and the wrong of God's word change? That means if God gives us a word, is it holy today and unholy tomorrow? Is it perfect today but full of faults and error tomorrow? Well, notice what the Lord said through the psalmist in Psalms 119, verse 89. Very well known, ubiquitously known verse of Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. My friends, people around us in this day and age don't even think it's settled in earth. They've received the word of God, they've read it, they cast it aside, and they say, well, that's just too stringent. That's too hard. That's a hard saying, and who can receive it? But my friends, here God's word says his word is settled, not in a sin-cursed earth that's constantly vacillating and changing. It is settled in heaven. And my friends, if it is settled in heaven, if it's not going to change in the purity and the perfection and the glory of heaven, I'm here to tell you it certainly is not going to change down here upon this sin-cursed earth. God has given it to us for a utility. He's given it to us for a guide, for the counsel of His heart to every generation, and we need to take heed unto it. Now, after He said this word is forever, Lord, settled in heaven, He also goes on to teach us that this settled word means also that we have a settled judgment. Somebody may say, you have no right to judge me. Well, my friends, if we are behaving ourselves properly, we as disciples of Christ are not doing the judging. All we are to do is identify what the Word of God says on a matter, and we can share that with people in humility and love. But we need to do it soundly and we need to do it firmly because God's word is the final word. There is no other arbiter. In that same chapter 119 of the Psalms, we not only have a settled word, we also have settled judgment. Because notice what the same psalmist goes on to proclaim in verses 102 and 103. He said, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Well, how was it that God had taught him? Now, I know God is able to teach man in the heart through the medium of the Holy Spirit. I don't deny that at all. But in this context, what are the judgments that the psalmist David is referring to? He said, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here the psalmist said, thy judgments don't change because thy word doesn't change. Now, can we find precept of this in the actions of the most perfect judge, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, certainly we can. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. If we're to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to be able to find in Jesus' ministry where He relied heavily upon the Word of God. Now, somebody may say, well, Brother Joe, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ was perfect. He could have declared any words and it would have been inspired and it would have been just and it would have been perfectly right. Well, that's exactly right. But Jesus went out of His way time and again, Kendra, to teach you and I a lesson, and that lesson is we can always depend upon the Word of God. My friends, not only is God's Word forever settled in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ said, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, we're going to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to quickly look at verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were hungered, began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But He said unto them, hear the words of Jesus unto them, have ye not read? Have you heard that? Jesus, who knows everything, who is able to create the world and all of the universe and hold every atom together, here is saying, you know what I'm going to fall back on right now, Pharisees? I'm going to point to you the Word of God, my Word that I've given. He had confidence in it, and we ought to also. Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shew bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? He went on to verse 5, says, or have ye not read in the law? There, again, he's making that his judge. The judge of all the universe is showing forth that his word is judge. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, what is he saying here? Notice he goes on to say in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. My friends, here the Lord Jesus Christ in this short passage of Scripture relying upon the Word of God as a settled judgment told you and told me that they should have judged according to the motive of mercy. And in judging according to a motive of mercy, that it is of the Lord, and that mercy was already established in the Word. Here he pointed out in established principle and statute this mercy that these Pharisees, these learned men, should have been able to see in the Word of God. Yes, God's Word means what it says, but when it shows us that that Word can also be held unto in mercy, I mean, when someone's hungry, I mean, God's word hasn't commanded us to starve to death. And the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with that mercy. They were just proud of that law and of that word without really wanting to establish and judge right judgment according to what it said. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Here we saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a precept of using his word as judge, a perfect judge. And that should be a lesson to you and I. Now go to Mark chapter 7. And verses 1 through 13, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say with unwashed hands, "they found fault." It said here the Pharisees, and it says in verse 3, they were holding the tradition of the elders. Now, washing pots and pans and things of that nature, that was not commanded in the law of Moses given unto Moses and handed down to the Levites. No. But this was a tradition that had been formulated by the elders. They were starting to add to that law, and they're saying, well, I know what it says, but this really must be what it means. And see, here the Lord answers them. Verse 6, "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias the prophet of you, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You see, my friends, the Lord doesn't give one hoot. He doesn't give one hill of beans about your opinion on his word. My friends, he doesn't give us sanction to take the traditions of men and pass them off as the true doctrines of God. Here he's saying, you need to go by the word. You need to go by the established, perfect, infallible law, word of God that has been kept and has been preserved unto you. He goes on in verse 9 and said, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition." Here the Lord goes on in verse 10 and he points to the word of God again. "For Moses said," notice, Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell you something even better. But my friends, there's nothing better than the established word of God. And Jesus shows this. Verse 10, "For Moses said," again, quoting scripture, "For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death." And he went on to point out to them how their corruption, their own vain tradition of pronouncing Corban, of taking the money that should have supported their mother and father and say, well, you know, if I give it to the temple, sanctified in the temple, I don't have to give it to support my mother and father. And they were letting their mothers and fathers be destitute and hungry under the false guise of honoring God in his house. Here, the Lord said, you just believe what the word says. It means what it says, and it says what it means. Just because you try to change the application of a passage, my friends, and many people try to do that. They'll try to change the application of a passage. They will wrest the scriptures. Just because you try to change the application of a passage, that does nothing. Do you hear me? That does nothing to change its true meaning and judgment. And that's what the Lord is showing here. My friends, not only can we depend upon the word as judge, we're commanded to do so, to use it in our dealings with other people. We go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Very plain language over in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. Here the Apostle Paul, writing the inspiration of God, tells you what to use as your judge. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And notice what you're supposed to do with it. "Teaching and admonishing one another." Somebody may say, well, it's all fine and good for you to love the word of God and to understand it and to apply it to your life, but I don't want you trying to share it with me. But my friends, we as Christian disciples, being led by the Holy Spirit of God in a spirit of love and meekness and a desire to save someone from destitution, from despair, from depression, from gross errors and sin, it's our responsibility and joy to try to share this word with other people, not saying and trying to pass off what we tell them as, well, you know, I've looked at this situation and in my own little gray matter up here in this skull, I've figured this situation out exactly what you need to do. My friends, that has absolutely no strength and it has no backbone. But here the Apostle Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you let it dwell in you richly, you're to use it. Doing what? Teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed. Here he's still talking about the word of Christ that dwells in your heart. If you do something in word or in deed, if you live as an example before someone, or you try to admonish them with the word, you need to make sure it's according to the word of God. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite, and it will ring hollow and give them fodder to use against you and to show you as a hypocrite. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. Let's go to the Big Mama passage that people love to throw back at anyone who would dare point out some gross error in their life or some thought that could cause them despair or dishonors the Lord God. Matthew chapter 7, judge not that ye be not judged. My friends, I'll tell you what, people can quote that scripture before they can quote John 3:16 or the 23rd Psalm. Judge not that ye be not judged. How dare you point out that me living in sin with my girlfriend is wrong? Judge not that ye be not judged. How dare you tell me that me sitting down and drinking a case of beer in one evening is wrong? Judge not that ye be not judged. Only God can judge me. Well, my friends, that's true. And the good thing for us is God has expressed for us His righteous, moral, perfect, seamless judgment. How? My friends, not by a flaming fire on a mountaintop and not by a lightning bolt that comes down out of the sky, but by something called the Holy Word of God. And I believe it's found in the 1611 King James translation. He doesn't stop there. Yes, he does say, judge not that you be not judged. He said, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So my friends, let me tell you something. If I'm humbly, meekly, trying to live by the word of God, then my friends, I shouldn't be ashamed to share that word to try to admonish someone and save them and bring them back from the fires and the errors of sin in this world. He said, you know, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Well, my friends, if I'm striving to live by the word of God and using that same word to try to help others, then I shouldn't live with dread. I shouldn't live with fear. When someone comes to me and shows me some of my error by the word of God, I need to accept it and try to incorporate it all the more in my life. He said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? He said, don't be a hypocrite. He said, somebody's got a fleck of wood in their eye. How are you going to help them get it out if you've got a big stick sticking out of your skull? You're just being a hypocrite. He said, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Now somebody would say, well, look at there. Jesus is saying, mind your own business. You keep your word to yourself. Don't you try to judge me. But that's not at all what Jesus Christ was teaching, because don't leave out verse 5. Here he tells his disciple, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, so that we can do what? And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I'm not supposed to keep this good word to myself. I'm supposed to try to help others with it. My friends, we go over to Isaiah chapter 30 in the Old Testament. And those Jews want to be prophesied smooth things. But here the Lord condemns them. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table. Here he's saying, write down my inspired word, Isaiah, and note it in a book, Isaiah, that it may be for how long? Oh, the word of God is out of date. Not so, my friends. It's more current than this morning's newspaper. He said that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Plain enough, amen? Verse 9 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Now, what made them rebellious people and lying children? He goes on, he says, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Somebody may say, well, I know what the word says, but I think my way is better. Well, according to the word of God, that means you're a rebellious person and a lying child. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but that's what the word says. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And James chapter 4 in the New Testament. Oh, there are many other places we can go, but for time's sake, we're fixing to bring this to a close. James chapter 4. Notice this inspired man of God here tells us, admonishes us in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He said, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. Now, someone will read that first phrase and say, well, see there, you're not supposed to judge any situation that your brother is in. You're just supposed to leave him alone and mind your own business. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, he that speaketh evil of his brother, it means you're speaking judgment and calamity on your brother out of your own opinion. He said, and judgeth his brother. Notice what he says. He transgresses God's law. He said, speaketh evil of the law. You see, the Lord's already given us the law. He's already given us the Word of God, not just the Old Testament, but also the New Testament. And he's saying, if you go outside of that as your source of judgment, then you are speaking evil of the Word that God has left us here for that purpose. And he goes on, he said, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. That means if you're making up your own judgment, it's like you are saying God's Word means nothing. And you need to cast it aside. You're judging the holy, perfect Word of God. We shouldn't do that. He said, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And someone will say, well, I still believe he's telling you to leave people alone. But then this same writer, James, goes on in the next chapter in verses 19 and 20 and says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, that means turn him from the error to the truth. How do you do that? He told you earlier, by the Word of God. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So somebody may say, well, Brother Joe, I just decide not to live by God's Word. I've decided it's not for me. Well, very quickly, I close. Yeah, God's already judged that too. No surprise. Psalm 50. He said, but unto the wicked, verse 16, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. My friends, he's going to go on and speak very much judgment. In verse 21, he said, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Why did God keep silence? Because he'd already judged the situation in the Word they were spurning. He said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. My friends, don't have the attitude that we have no right to judge any situation, to discern right from wrong and try to help other people. But you just make sure that it's according to the established, seamless, holy Word of God, and you're in good stead. Until we're able to speak with you again, may the Lord richly bless you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.